It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Were super necessary.
God, Eddie, my God!
Unbelievable! Right there! Done and done! You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me!
He can't say much other than wow.
Hi, pal.
Yes, mate. How are we going? How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for joining me. Glad we finally managed to get this sorted.
Don't worry about it, mate. It takes time, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Life gets in the way, doesn't it? But how's things? How's it feel being the champ?
It feels good. Life's pretty much been the same. I haven't really had much time off. I've just been training for the full time I've been out. Since the fight, really. I didn't take much damage, so yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, great performance. Seeing it sort of live there on the night was incredible, and, you know, we'll come on to that in a little bit. But first time on the podcast, thing I always ask is just, how did you get started in combat sports?
So it's a funny one. So obviously I'm from Hull, and in Hull you have like football or rugby. And my dad's a massive Hull, well, was more of a, he was a big Hull City fan back in the day. And he used to get me to go watch it. And when I was a proper young bairn. And one of his mates also took his daughter and he went to go watch. But his mate's called Mel Leafley, he runs Fight Ministry in Hull. That's where I first started.
Nice.
He said to my dad, just bring him down, see if he likes it or not. And literally, I'm not lying, from the age of 7, I've just never stopped.
Wow.
My dad took me just like December, the December after I was 7. So I'm my birthday's in September. So what, like 3 months after I turned 7, he started taking me.
Wow. So it's been your life then, hasn't it, really? And I think we're seeing that a lot now. You see like all the youth MMA and things like that. And, you know, the kids are getting into it at a really young age. And I think you're going to really see, like, I think especially over here, you're going to see a big takeover from the UK over the next sort of 10 years or so.
No, I definitely agree, because you get all the, like, not all, but, you know, all the champions currently are, like, you know, like, not lifelong martial artists, but, like, you know, they suck it up a bit later in their lives, whereas everyone's going to be so good at a point where you'll have to have been doing it from such a young age, you know, at a good level. So I reckon within the next like few years, especially, you know, regional and worldwide, you'll see like a lot of the lifelong martial artists, not even martial artists, just people who've trained their whole life, start taking over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be crazy. I know the regional scene, like in Liverpool especially, is you know, hitting new heights at the minute. What's the regional scene like in Hull? Is it starting to take off?
I didn't mean to laugh there. I love my city, you know, like more than anything. But like, we've got a couple good guys, you know. We've got my gym, Hit Squad Hull, that I train at. We've got Kyle's and Gracie, which is owned by Owen Lively.
Yeah.
Or Levesey. I can never pronounce his last name. they've got a couple good guys, but like, we've got a couple good guys. None of them are like, you know, like well known. I'm assuming you couldn't name another fighter from Hull.
Not off the top of my head, no. I'd have to go and have a good look, like.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we haven't got the will be, you know, in time. It's just, you know, building you got to lay the building blocks, aren't you? That's why I like you saying about the Liverpool regional scene. I train at Next Gen a lot now.
Yeah,
with Jake and obviously and Jake and all the other guys at Next Gen.
Yeah, I mean, the team at Next Gen is ridiculous. So getting in there is going to help you massively, 100%. I'd imagine. Did that come about from being on the show with Jake, or was that something you had planned anyway?
No, so it came across, it happened with the IMAF, the Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
So when we did it in February, Molly was quite heavily involved in the team. She went with us to Serbia, and she got us in the camp to do a week there. And then after the Worlds, she sent me a message saying, you're more than welcome to come training. We'd love to have you in more. So literally since then, really, I've been in and out. Recently, I've been more than I ever have, and I've just felt that my development's been amazing.
Yeah. No, it's good to hear that. Any plans to make the move permanent, or are you still happy dividing your time?
The move's got to happen because I've got to move with the times, do you know what I mean? Like I get better at home, but like how quickly I get better in Liverpool is incomparable to that. Like, I did 2 weeks there at the end of my camp, and I felt like I developed in a time. I developed a lot, and I felt like it usually took me like 2 or 3 months to get that much amount of development in, where I gained it in 2 weeks there.
Yeah.
So like they all say it's impossible not to get better there, and it genuinely is impossible because you've got. Even, you know, I'll train in the mornings with, you know, the fight team. I'll do the nights as well. And even then, you've got a match full of killers. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people, like, don't even fight and compete. They just gripped, you know, got, like, amazing blue belts, pale belts, brown belts, black belts, you know, and white belts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got amazing people around you.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. It's a testament to Paul and the team there. How,
100%.
You know, everyone is just like you say, everyone's a killer out of there. So
yeah,
if you can get in there, mate, absolutely.
100%.
So you had quite a long amateur career before you did decide to turn pro. Was that always the aim, to have a longer amateur career?
I think it's I never planned on doing the Worlds. I just planned on doing the Euros. And then Paul Reed, who's the vice president of Emma, told me I should do the Worlds. So I was 13 and a half to the Euro, so I was planning on doing it then. Nice. But then I did the Worlds and got to 16-1, which is still pretty still a good record.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I always thought, I always had 10-0 in my head. I never wanted anything less than 10 fights.
Nice.
Before I made the move to pro, because I feel like some people make the move too early, and you can see how, like, it slows down the career later on in the pro ranks, because now I could steamroll my first like 4 or 5 fights, because that on Octagon 48, that was my 20th MMA fight, and I've had multiple like K1 fights, boxing fights, and that.
Yeah.
So I'm fairly experienced, you know, in just fighting now.
Yeah, no, you're well-rounded, and I think you showed that on the night, in fairness. You know, you talk about your record, 16-1, fantastic record, especially as amateur. You look at some of the names you've fought, Teddy Stringer, Marlon Jones, you know, Aaron Givens, all top names are amateur. Were you always more interested in fighting the best rather than just fighting for fighting's sake?
100%, I never took a fight, like, if you look at my first 5 fights, I think it was. I was always like the. My record, if you look compared to what theirs was like, ridiculous. Like, I had my debut was the only one who had the same record as me. My second fight, I think, was 2-0. Third fight was 5-0. Fourth fight was 7-0. Then I fought Marlon Jones. Then I fought Dan Mintz for the title. So, and then I fought Teddy Stringer. Do you know what I mean? So, like, each time I was always stepping up my level of competition. Like, I think it's really helped me, like, throughout my career, because I've, like, each time I've, like, risen to the occasion. Like, you know, I'm fighting someone better. I need to get better. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think it really has helped me throughout my full career. Like, you know, it's a challenge, and I want to beat them, and I want to get better.
Yeah. No, it's the best mindset to have. You're not going to, you know, if you just fight anybody who's sort of willing to fight, you're not going to improve, are you? So
100%
not. The right way to be. You mentioned the IMAFs, of course. What was that experience like? Was that completely different to anything else you'd experienced at the time?
Yeah, it was mad. It was mad. So we went to Italy. the place we stayed was lovely. Like, that was for the Euros. That was absolutely, like, gorgeous. You know, just the actual... I can never remember the name of the city or the town we was in, but it was gorgeous. But the place we stayed was awful. It was like a run-down Butlins. Like, okay. Yeah. You can already start to imagine what that was like. Yeah. When I say, honestly, when I walked in my room, I was like, what the hell is this? I rang my girlfriend. I was like, this is horrendous. Like, honestly, the beds, tonight, we have like the lats in our beds. It gives it a bit of spring, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It was just one board under the bed. There was no like quilts. It was just layers and layers of blankets. There was no baths and there was no saunas.
Right.
So what made it worse for me is I had to run my weight off every night. Yeah, so I literally chuck on the sauna suit and do an hour run, sleep for an hour run until the weight came off.
Nice. Wow.
And then won the whole thing, which is mad.
Yeah. Fair play, clearly worked. But it doesn't sound ideal.
And then, no, it wasn't ideal. But you like I say, I rose to the occasion again. And that's the best way to put it. And then the Worlds, I thought the Worlds was a bit better. Have you seen what's it called? Like Cobra Kai and Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Like the Euros is like a place where like the All Valley tournament would take place, you know, like somewhere like that. Whereas the Worlds is mad, like I think it's called the Stark Stadium and that.
Right.
And like just to show like how big it is, Jordan Burroughs has competed there in freestyle, do you know what I mean? It's like that's the level of, you know, the stadium. So it was clearly very good. Serbia was a bit rough, man, but
not surprised there. Yeah,
no, Belgrade was a bit rough, but the actual whole environment and that was ace. We was in a real nice hotel on this one. It was just a Holiday Inn, but it was really nice.
Yeah,
it was like a 10-minute walk to the arena. You'd weigh in, I'd go to sleep, and then I'd compete. Obviously, I didn't get to come with a W, which is like the I think I was slightly depressed for like 2 months after it, just because I expect that highly of myself.
Yeah.
And like I watched that fight back and I'm just like, I literally did nothing. He did nothing really. The thing is, do you know when you've had a fight and you don't really get hit and you've lost?
Yeah.
But in the fair play, I didn't hit him that much. So it's like, it was just one of those. I just didn't do anything. I thought, because I already beat him in the Euros finals. I thought, I've got this guy's number. I can just keep him at bay, ping him at, you know, the range.
Yeah.
And then I won't take any damage or get tired for the final. So I kind of overlooked him, which is the worst mistake of my life. And like for that, I'm very grateful because it was a massive life lesson for me. Like never overlook an opponent ever again. Any aspect of his game, you know, striking, wrestling, jiu-jitsu wise. So that was probably the best lesson that could have ever happened to me. But in the same breath, I hate the fact that I lost. And it's still honestly, I think until I'm world champion in, you know, Octagon and UFC, it'll do my head in.
Yeah.
So it's like that was my one chance before for years to become world champion.
Yeah. No, and that's the mindset, isn't it? It's
100%.
You know, even if you can look back and go, you know, maybe I didn't deserve to win the fight, looking back on it, in your head, you're still like, no, fuck it, I should have won that fight.
Yeah. 100%.
But that's why, you know, you're able to bounce back, and you know that's why you're able to put in a performance like you did in Manchester and things like that. So you need that mindset, I think.
100%. I 100% agree. It's just like you need to sometimes like I said, I wasn't like clinically depressed whereas on like tablets or out, but I was just like, fuck, I need to work so much harder to get where I want to be. And literally I lost this semi-final fight and then the next day I was training in the morning with Mitch Good. He was also on the team. Yeah. So I was straight back and I was like, I'm just going to get so much better.
Yeah. So
that was my mindset straight away.
Right. I mean, again, fantastic. I think it's the right mindset to have. If it, you know, if you wanted to get straight back in there, why not? If you felt, you know, if you can, then do it. So moving on to Octagon Challenge, then how did the call for that come about? What was going on at the time?
I did the Worlds and the plan was get gold in the Worlds. But even if I didn't, like, if I didn't, I was always saying I was always going to go pro afterwards, because, like, I'd have to wait. Obviously, the Worlds are going on currently.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like I'd have waited a long time, and I don't feel like I'd have got many matches at amateur anymore. So, like, and I'd already done it all, you know. There was nothing else for me to do really in the UK amateur. So the only real thing was to go pro. And then I was supposed to fight on All Might. I say suppose. I put my name down for All Might to go pro. And then Liam Cannon, my manager, he said I had about 15 guys turn me down.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it was annoying.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and then Carl Prince actually messaged my coach from home, Stu, saying, I reckon George would be an amazing fit for this. What do you reckon? And Stu obviously passed it on to me, and now I should talk to Liam about it. At first, I said no, because I thought I had to pay $2,000 to enter it.
All right.
But then it turned out they paid me that, so I was like, oh yeah, fine, I'll do it. So when I found out I was the one getting paid, I was like, oh no, yeah, sound, I'll do it. So it was literally that, as soon as I found out the actual, because I'm dyslexic, so I probably read it wrong. So I literally, as soon as I realized I was the one actually getting paid, I was like, yeah, sign me up.
Right, okay. So what was it, you know, what was that like with, you know, being in the Villa, different experience altogether, you know, with Team Ireland and obviously, yeah, the other Team England lads. Team Ireland, you know, they were very much wanting to get under your guys' skin, trying to do as much as possible to put yous off. What was the overall experience like, and how were you able to deal with sort of some of the things they were doing?
So, like, the overall experience is phenomenal. Like, I've said it so many times, it was genuinely like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, you know, I've never been to Slovakia. This Octagon flew me out to do like an interview, but I was there for a day or two. You know, you can't really experience a country in 2 days.
Yeah,
but I was there for 3 weeks, and you know, you got to experience every, you know, like, not every aspect, but, like, you know, a lot of the aspects of the country, and it was amazing. Like, I got to go in a plane, like a private plane, that was amazing. Got to meet, like, you know, some top lads in, you know, Bo, Jake, and Hassan.
Yeah,
and I got on so well with all three of them, and I rate them all so highly. Like, I see Jake every time I'm at Next Gen. Do you know, I was up GB Top Team a bit in this camp as well, because Brad cornered me.
Yeah,
I thought it'd just be smart to go see him, and Hassan was there, you know, working hard, and it's great. I saw Bo at the fights, you know, I absolutely love Bo. That was top bloke.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I loved all my teammates on Team England. Even, you know, Brad and Nacon, you know, class guys.
Yeah.
So, like, I was just very thankful that I got to do this, have this amazing opportunity and do this amazing thing. But obviously, like, the Irish Team Ireland was definitely trying to get under all of our skins. I feel like they got under Hassan's the most.
Yeah. Well,
Dennis did.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But, like, I'm a pretty laid back person. Like, you see one of the episodes, you see I'm just literally playing Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type. I'll just play my games. I don't bite to a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty, like, I'm just a pretty chilled person. Like, some things, like the about my grandma, I was just like, that's out of order.
Yeah.
Because she has passed as well. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like she's alive. She's passed away, unfortunately. So I was like, she's a bit out of order, really.
Yeah.
And like, I know, just because of how much she meant to my dad and that, like, she was pretty much my dad's only parent.
Nice.
You know, obviously, unfortunately. So, like, I was just like, she's very disrespectful to me and my dad and my family.
Yeah.
But other than that, I wasn't really bothered about anything else they said. Like, at the beginning, they were calling me, like, shit stain. You could imagine all the shit that with the last name. And, like, I was like, do you realise kids in primary school are the worst children. And the amount of stuff I've been called throughout primary school, secondary school, college.
Yeah.
You know, my dad's nickname's Skids. You know, like, Skid Max. You know what I mean? Like, it's not very unique.
No. You've heard it all before.
If you've thought about it, I've probably heard of it. So,
yeah.
Other than that, I was like pretty not bothered.
Yeah. No, fair play. I mean, like you said, they were trying a lot, but I think at the same time, I suppose, except for maybe with Hassan, there was a lot of respect between, you know, you guys and them as well. You know, you see, you seen Bo and Adam after their fight, you know, sharing a beer and things like that. Yeah. So there was, look, it was a competition. You all wanted to win.
Of course.
But there was still respect there, even if it wasn't always on show.
Oh, no, I have respect for everyone who, you know, competed in that, you know. You've got, like I said on one of my interviews after the thing, after my fight, you have to have respect for anyone that gets in the cage, because it is a hard sport, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're literally going in there to either punch someone unconscious or choke them unconscious or break a limb, do you know what I mean? It's a rough sport, man. and like sometimes you might get out unscathed, but most of the time it's you black and blue afterwards.
Yeah. That's it. You don't play MMA, do you? So
no, you definitely don't.
So we spoke to Team Ireland in its entirety just midway through the show. And they were saying about the sort of differences with fighting in that environment, the TV show and things like that, as opposed to a normal fight. There was a lot of waiting around before you get into the cage, and then you're waiting for like 5 minutes or so for them to get everything set up so you can actually start the fight, and just things like that you had to deal with. What was that like for you? How were you able to keep focused in that sort of longer time you'd have between walking into the cage and actually fighting?
Yeah, so obviously, like, I was the third fight on the challenge. So, like, I obviously saw the way Bo did it, and Bo was, like, staying, like, pretty light on his feet, you know, whereas Aaron had his, like, knees bent and that, so he made his legs are going to stiffen up a little bit here.
Yeah.
Not, you know, just because it's not a very comfy position she's into being for 5 minutes. I'm not saying, like, if I was in that position, you know, for 5 minutes, my legs would be stiff as out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas, like, and then Jake, I saw how intense Jake was, and 5 minutes to be intense for 5 minutes, you're staring at your opponent's a long time.
Mm.
So I was like, I'll take, you know, what I've learned from both them experiences. So, like, I was just chilling for a bit, you know, just walking about, not walking, just like bouncing about, smiling, you know, just ready to go whenever, listening to whatever Brad and Akon was telling me, you know, stay loose, stay thing. And I just stayed ready. Because, like, you'll never experience staying in the cage for 5 minutes before the fight. It just doesn't happen. No. But like, I was just trying to stay as relaxed as possible.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, no, but most of it, I suppose, being the third fight, probably, like you said, it helped a lot. I know Aaron and Bo didn't really know what to expect at that time. No,
like I said, in that first fight, it would have thrown me out. But like, I had the benefit of being third, so I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to be in there for a bit longer. So I was already mentally prepared for that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You mentioned both Brad, you know, legend in the sport over here.
100%.
Akon, one of the top rising stars we've got coming out the UK. What were you able to learn from both of them?
So, like, obviously, Brad. Well, I can't speak highly enough of Brad, you know, like, it's cage wrestling. I love a bit of cage wrestling, me. So obviously, I was really fortunate to get to train with someone like Brad, you know, pick his brains about some, you know, cage wrestling stuff, some of his wrestling, and obviously Akon. Great. He's got a phenomenal stand-up, as you can see in all his fights. So explosive, you know.
Yeah.
So ranging. I'm not as tall as some of these lads, but I'm tall. Like, I'm 6'1", so it's like, I've got a bit of height on some lightweights.
Yeah.
So, like, to be able to pick Akon's brain about, you know, the weight, you know, like, keeping range, and that was amazing. Just like Brad's, you know, like, Brad's got amazing calf kicks. You can see from all GB top team fighters, like, they all use it phenomenally well. So I love a calf kick as well. So I was able to, you know, pick his brains about that. And just, I actually got on with them both really well. Like, they're both massive Star Wars nerds and both collect Lego. So when we were training, we were just talking about Star Wars and Lego.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I knew about Akon. I spoke to Akon not long before the show aired. And he told me about Brad, like, being into Star Wars and Lego and all, and I was so surprised, because you look at him and you just wouldn't think he was into all that at all.
No, you wouldn't, would you? He showed us a photo of his stag do. He was dressed up as Darth Vader, and all of his groomsmen and that were dressed up as stormtroopers.
That's class.
And the I'm a massive, like, Lego Lego Star Wars collector. I've got loads, like, after the fight, I bought this massive one. It's called the Venator. That's like £500, but I had to buy it because, like, you only get one pro debut, don't you?
That's it.
And I told Brad I was buying it. He seemed a bit jealous, but he's got like, he showed me his full collection. I was just like, oh my God, it's absolute heaven. He's got like Mandalorian armies, clone armies, stormtrooper armies. Just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Akon, as I say, he was saying how much he's got. And he was like, even Akon was blown away by it. But like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that you're obviously, you know, you're all at that thing that sort of brings you together outside of 100%. MMA. Like you said, it helps you get on with them essentially. And but yeah, it's like I say, you just wouldn't expect it from Brad at all.
No, it was real funny because I was talking to Brad and he was like, he saw someone on his Instagram and I was cutting weight, and it was just like a house, like a load of like secret Lego rooms, and that like someone's built a stairway made out of Lego. And it's got like loads of little like compartments in with like loads of sick shit happening in it. It's quality. It did help. It definitely helped when I was cutting weight.
I can imagine. So let's talk about the pro debut. You know, Manchester was incredible. The crowd, you know, the crowd was electric. They were very vocal in their support of you. What did that feel like for you? Like just hearing all them cheers for you when he announced your name.
Like obviously, I just heard like just a noise. I was focusing on Dennis and I was just vibing to my song. Like I heard just everyone just going, ah.
Yeah.
Like it was hard to tell whether it was boos or cheers. And I thought, like, do you know, I was like, oh, I might have got booed there. But like everyone said, you didn't get a single boo, mate.
You didn't.
Absolute cheers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, did I? I thought I got booed a little bit. Because I thought, you know, some of Dennis's boys might have been, you know, popped around and that. So I might have got a booze from them.
Yeah.
But, now I watched the videos back and, you know, the fight on YouTube. I'm just like, oh my God, the crowd was just ridiculous. And like, it couldn't have been a better way to have your pro debut. You know, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you know, there's not many people who can debut at pro and you know, leave with a belt around the waist at the end of it.
Yeah. No, not a single, I can't name a single one.
No, me neither. But yeah, I mean, the crowd, as I say, the crowd was incredible all night, to be fair, but I mean, especially for you, it was deafening. And, you know, I think Dennis, I can understand him getting booed, like on his way to the walking in and stuff like that before the fight, after the fight. I would have liked, and I know you sort of said that yourself in, you know, in your post-fight interview, like you got to show him a bit of respect. He's got in there, he's put a show on for the fans with yourself. And I think that just kind of wound him up a bit more after it. And then there was a bit going on with some of the crowd after it.
And
Paddy and things like that.
My dad and his supporters were at the walkway.
Right, okay.
So, you know, if I'm walking forward, they were to my left.
Yeah.
If I'm walking towards the cage, they'd have been on my left.
Right.
So I had to ignore all them for my walk, but obviously all that crowd maybe really booed their it wasn't right. I'm very sportsmanly. Like I said, I had no animosity towards Dennis anyway. It wasn't called for, but that's probably why he got a lot of boos on the way back.
Yeah, yeah. I think your performance on the night was spectacular, and I think Dennis just probably maybe wasn't expecting it as much. And I think I thought you come out quite aggressive in the fight. I thought you wanted to sort of meet Dennis rather than meeting you, kind of thing. Did you feel like you were more aggressive in the fight, or did you just feel like you were just your normal self?
I just felt like I'm my normal self. Genuinely, I was just so focused. Like I looked like, obviously, like I was moving around. I was just in the moment of the thing. I like the crowd meant nothing to me. Like I know how loud it was. That's about how much I know. Like I remember just like listening to my song. I was just like, yeah, this is sick. This is the life. And like I was never nervous like to the build up of the fight either. I was just like, since I was about 13, I said I'll be a world champion. I'll be a pro. I'll be a world champion. I'm like, the fight, because I just had a mad realization. I'm just like, I'm literally doing what I've said since I was 13. Like, how 10 years on, I'm doing what I said, you know, like living the dream. I was just like, that's so mad. Yeah. Like, how many people can say that when they were 13, they said they were going to do this? Like it was just like it was a really surreal moment for me personally. And then from that, I was just like, I never felt anything apart from focused.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was so focused in the camp. Like, I was just like, I can't lose to this guy one bit. I've got to put it on him. And like, I'm like, the thing is with wrestling is, if you're tense and, you know, stiff, you're not going to wrestle well. So like, I've got to be nice and loose, because that's when I wrestle best. When I'm loose, when I'm, you know, feeling the moment.
Yeah.
And I just followed the game plan to a T, like put pressure on him. Not being aggressive, because that's stupid. And like, Dennis is a really good counterfighter. Like, you see it with Bo and Hassan, you know, whenever they're trying to be aggressive with him, he's pulling back, countering, framing off, you know,
yeah,
circling away. But I saw a lot of the reads that Dennis does in the fight against Bo, and, you know, he did the exact same stuff in the fight that I saw. Backs off quite early and gives you centre of the cage if you put pressure on him. So I put calculated pressure on him. And then I know he's saying, obviously, I didn't want to strike with him. That is his strong put. I wouldn't want to strike with him. Do you know what I mean? That's his strong suit. Why would I fight someone where someone's strongest? Like,
yeah,
fighting where the weakest, like GSP style.
Yeah, of course.
It's the easiest way to win. like, I'm going to fight, if I'm fighting a wrestler next who's got shit striking, I'm going to strike with him.
Yeah.
And then maybe wrestle with him a little bit. But like, path of least resistance is always my mantra. Like, whatever it means to win, not cheating, but like, in terms of like planning, whatever way I need to win. So I feel like I just followed the game plan to a T, really. Like, put that early pressure on him, let him make a mistake and take him down.
Yeah. No, like you say, it worked to perfection. I think you dominated the whole fight, really. So it was
maybe not fast. I think there was that fight in the third round where I was a bit lazy on my body lock and he threw me. that first 5 seconds, I was just like, for God's sake. I just wrestled back up. But
yeah,
5 seconds of a 17 minute fight in bad.
No, definitely not. Have you noticed, obviously, Octagon Challenge, they made a really big deal of it. Obviously, the Octagon got the deal with Channel 4 to broadcast it and obviously broadcast their events moving forward. Have you noticed like any increased like media attention or anything like that since the fight?
Yeah, so I gained about like 14,000 followers, which is mad. and not 14,000, 1,400. That's 14,000's a lot. 1,400. It's just starting to slow down now, really. And yeah, I've definitely noticed a lot more like media attention. You know, like a lot of people, I had so many messages.
Yeah.
It's been so hard to get through them all. Like, I think I got the majority, but like, again, I'll say it on here. Like, sorry if I didn't message you. Like, I feel really bad when I don't message people back, because I feel like an absolute dick.
yeah.
So I'm like, in my head, I'm just like, oh, they've taken out the time to message me. I should take out the same amount of time out of my day to message them back. But it just gets on top of you sometimes. Like, after the fight, I had so many like stories that people tagged me in. And on top of that, I had double the amount of messages.
Jesus.
So like Sunday, I was literally like from 9 till about 9 p.m. I was just on my phone all day, just like replying and messaging. It's just like,
Jesus.
Oh my God. And I just wanted to build my Lego set. That's all I wanted to do. I was like, get it done and I can build my Lego set and be in peace for the next like 24 hours. Honestly, I just wanted to build my Lego.
That's it. Your fight career is getting in the way of your Lego.
It should be Lego then fight career, not fight career then Lego.
Definitely. Well, as I said before, you know, I can't think of a single person who has gone into the pro debut and left there with a belt around the waist. So what are you looking, what's happening in 2024? What's next? When are you looking to be back in action?
So like I said in the press conference after, that was my 11th fight in 14 months, which is a lot of fights. Yeah. So if you go from September last year, from the day of my fight, it was 14 months. And since then I've had 11 fights.
Wow.
Which is a large amount of fights.
And then some, yeah.
yeah, and even if you just go this year, well, not even this year, you go from the last 10 months, from February, I've had 7 fights.
Wow.
So I think, like, I've missed 2 birthdays and a Christmas. So I haven't really, like, last birthday was a week before the IMAF, so I couldn't eat anything, do you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't even celebrate. I had my presents and that, but it's just like, I'm in keto, I'm feeling like shit. Waterload and all that. And then, This one wasn't so bad because it was like halfway through the camp, but like still, it's just about being disciplined, isn't it? Like not breaking discipline, keeping in that, you know, mentality of I'm fighting.
Yeah,
I'll have my birthday afterwards. So I'd really like to have my Christmas this year. Oh, and I couldn't. I missed Christmas because I was cutting for the IMAFs again. So I'd really, really like to have my Christmas and like spend time with my family because, like I was saying earlier, I spend a lot of time up in Liverpool with Next Gen. So like for the last 4 weeks, last month of the camp, I was in GB top team my first week. Then the next 2 weeks I was in Liverpool, and then for Next Gen, and then last week was obviously fight week, so I was just at home. But like, it's a lot of time away from home. I didn't see my girlfriend for a month at one point in this camp. I barely saw my dad and my family, so you know, it's just been nice, just like see them all. Like, it was my girlfriend's birthday after the fight as well, so it was nice to just be there for her birthday.
Yeah,
and just spend time with them all because it's been a long time since I have. And like, you know, like just spending time and having like just being there and having actual quality time with them, isn't they?
Yeah,
like I may be in the house, but I'm resting, I'm sleeping, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not having tea with them. I'm in the gym, you know. I'm barely at home when I'm at home. So I'd like to have, you know, not the rest of the year off. I'm still training. I'm still training twice a day. I'll just get bored. Like, honestly, I'll be playing a game or something. I'm just like, oh God, I'm bored of this now. Let me go to the gym. Genuinely, like, that's who I am. I'm genuinely just obsessed with the sport. But I'm hoping like March, April time. Yeah, March, April time. Right. I know they've got Germany and I think it's Prague in March. Don't quote me on that. And I know they've got Birmingham in April.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Birmingham would be sick because it's home crowd again, isn't it? Like, you said, the crowd at Manchester was electric and it'll be the same at Birmingham. Like, Octagon, everyone knows what crowd I bring.
I mean, they've got Newcastle before then as well, haven't they? So... Clearly putting a lot of focus on the UK.
Yeah, so I reckon, especially because obviously they didn't sell out the AO, but like it's the biggest arena in the UK. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
It's going to be hard to sell out on the first UK arena. So I reckon Octagon in the UK is going to become a household name soon.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I can see it happening. I know it's huge in the likes of Czech Republic and like Slovenia, Slovakia, them type of countries, that part of the world. I know it's absolutely huge there. So it's only a matter of time before the UK start really getting onto it. And I think, as I say, having the Channel 4 deal is like huge massive for them. That's going to help massively. But look, I mean, MMA's in a fantastic place at the moment, isn't it? You look at Octagon, obviously UFC, everybody knows about that. But then, you know,
British champions for the first time ever, aren't you? Do you know what I know. I mean?
It's a fantastic time. And, you know, you've got PFL and Bellator just on the merge. PFL have been really wanting to get into the UK as well. So now's the time to be an MMA fighter from the UK. There's so many opportunities and we deserve it. The amount of fighters we've got that are ready for these big opportunities is ridiculous.
I'd 100% agree. Like, I think, like you say, it's the best time to be an MMA fighter in the UK. Like you go anywhere, you know, especially like you got Liverpool, you got Next Gen, Aspire, you know, Cowbond, it's the Combat Alliance now, isn't it? You've got all these great places up in Liverpool, and you got Manchester top team up in, you know, Manchester, you got Predators. You got SBG Manchester, then you've got, you know, down London, you've got God knows how many gyms up there. You know, the UK is, and you've got Renegade, like, you know, Leon Edwards, you know what I mean? So the UK scene, so it's just going mental at the moment. So even like if you wanted to get into MMA, this is probably the best time you're ever going to get in because, like, obviously we're just going to get better and better. There's no way we're not. You're seeing the caliber that we've got now, but like, get on the hype train before everything goes mental.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's a fantastic time and a great time to be involved in the sport in any capacity. So, you know, you're now, you know, I think Octagon, you'll realise, I think that's putting you right at the forefront of UK MMA right from your debut. So look forward to seeing you in action again next year. I can't wait.
Nah, I'm looking forward to it. I was like, after the fight, I was like, I had the week off. I was like, oh, I'm already getting the itch to fight again. But I was like, I need to let my body rest a little bit.
Yeah.
And fix a couple of holes. There was a couple. I know it was a good performance, but there was a couple of holes that I saw watching it back.
Yeah.
So fix them and go ready to get that Octagon title.
That's it. That's the end game, at least for now anyway.
UFC's always the end game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? UFC champions, I want to be UFC champion of the world. That's the goal. And I will be. But firstly, Octagon champion.
Yeah. No. Let's conquer that. And then UFC will be calling. Don't you worry about
100%,
that, mate.
Right.
Well look, mate, thank you very much for taking the time off to chat to me. I know you've not long finished in the gym, so appreciate you taking the time.
Oh mate, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime, mate. Again, can't wait to see you back in action. And I know a lot of people out there will be looking forward to that as well.
I appreciate everyone's support, so thank you.
Take it easy, mate.
You soon, mate. See you soon. Bye.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
Go now.